see, Connor says, in a voice so tender I question if I really am awake at all.
No, Dad. You weren't there. I just don't think so.
It's Kalen, and it's him who's crying, not me. And I am awake, I'm sure.
Maybe you should call the Armstrongs, Connor,
Vanessa says, her voice muffled behind my locked bedroom door. The Armstrongs. Kevin. I heard that. I sit up fast, listen harder.
No, don't call them. Not yet. Not until we know if...
Kalen pauses, and then I hear him sniffling again. But Kalen shouldn't be here. His winter break isn't for another week. No, something's not right. I unlock my door, small steps to the living room. No one hears me come in. My brother is sitting in the middle of the couch, head in hands. Vanessa, in her bathrobe and slippers, sitting next to him, arm draped across his back. Connor on his feet, hovering, a hand resting tentatively on his shoulder. They're silent. Kalen's body bobs up and down. What's going on? I ask. They all turn their eyes to me, but they don't say anything. Kalen drops his head back down into his lap. Vanessa's chin quivers.
It's Kevin, honey,
Connor finally tells me. What? What did he do?
Do?
Kalen spits at me.
He didn't do anything.
Shh, Vanessa coos at him. Okay, well, what happened? I try instead.
It's all going to be all right, so everybody just calm down,
Connor yells.
Edie, Kevin is in a little bit of trouble, but it's going to get straightened out soon enough.
What kind of trouble? I scratch my arm, the anxiety bubbling up under my skin.
This girl in our dorm is saying he raped her,
Kalen shouts. And then, at my lack of reaction, he adds,
He didn't, obviously, but I don't know what's going to happen. The police came and...
I can't hear anything else because someone is yelling inside my head, taking a mallet to my brain, screaming, God, no, 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 no! I feel like I might fall over, like I might just stop breathing altogether. That old familiar bullet inches its way in deeper. I think it's headed for my heart this time. No, my stomach. I run for the bathroom, make it just in time to lift the lid and throw up. I sit down on the cold tile floor. My head is pounding, like there's literally a war going on inside my brain, complete with bombs and cannons and big guns and casualties. He did it. Of course he did it. There's no question about that. But did I do it too? I listened to him. I kept my mouth shut. And then he went and did it again to someone else, except this girl, whoever she is. She was brave, smart, not like me. I am just the same sniveling coward I was then. I'm a mouse. I am a fucking mouse. On the other side of the door, I hear some more sniffling and low, wordless whining, gurgling sounds from the coffee pot. I emerge, hopefully not looking like someone just kicked my ass.
You okay, Minnie?
Connor asks, squeezing my shoulder a little too vigorously. Minnie. I haven't heard that one in a while. How obscenely appropriate. Not really, I admit.
Don't worry about school today.
He smiles.
We're all taking a mental health day. Sound good?
I nod, try to smile back. We sit around the house for hours, everyone looking devastated. Kalen's a mess. Connor tries to act like everything's okay. Vanessa vacillates between manic fidgeting and sitting too still. I feel like beating my head against the wall. I can't imagine eating, but I help Vanessa make lunch anyway. She says it will help everyone feel better. I seriously doubt that. As we sit around the kitchen table, mostly just picking at our grilled cheese sandwiches and stirring our bowls of lumpy tomato soup, the story comes out disjointed and biased. Kalen tells us,
It's his girlfriend. It doesn't even make sense. I mean, why would he need to rape someone he was already sleeping with?
It made sense to me, of course. He needed to make her feel worthless, needed to control her, needed to hurt her, needed to leave her powerless.
She broke up with Kevin for some reason or other, I really don't know, but it wasn't a huge deal or anything, and Kevin asked her to come over the one night because she was upset about the breakup, just to talk, and she says that's when he raped her.
He air quotes, and I want to lunge across the table and break his fingers off.
Kevin admitted to having sex with her. Consensual sex.
He air quotes again. I don't bother telling him that if he's trying to make her the liar, then he doesn't want to emphasize the word consensual.
She didn't even report it for a couple of days.
He adds, as if this is some important piece of information, as if it means anything.
If it really happened, then why didn't she report it right away?
Compared to how long I've waited, 2 days seems nearly instantaneous. 2 damn days is nothing.
And besides,
he continues,
I was there. I mean, I was right there in the next room. I would have known if something was happening. If she was seriously in trouble, she could have screamed or called for me. I mean, we were friends too. And I didn't hear anything.
Oh, my heart stops. If he only knew the things he was capable of not hearing from the next room.
Nothing at all,
he repeats.
And that's exactly what I told the campus police when they questioned me last week. But then out of nowhere they came last night, the real police this time, and took him. That's why I'm here. I didn't know what else to do. I just can't believe they can get away with this. They can't just arrest someone for no reason, right? I cannot figure out why she would lie like this. She seemed so normal.
Maybe she's not lying, I finally blurt out, unable to hold it in any longer.
How can you even say that? Of course she's lying.
Kalen looks like he's about to climb over the table at me. Well, they don't just arrest someone for no reason, and you just said yourself you didn't think she would lie, I remind him.
No, I said I don't know why she would lie. Not that I didn't think she was. And I don't know, Eden. Maybe she just decided to invent some fucked up story because she felt bad, breaking up with a guy and then sleeping with him anyway, for being a slut.
Kalen, we don't talk like that at the table, Vanessa scolds gently, but he ignores her. Instead, he looks at me and mumbles under his breath.
You can understand that, can't you?
My mouth opens. Out of shock or to speak, I don't know which. I can't even think in words. Can't breathe. Can't feel. But somehow my voice finds them anyway, and they explode off my tongue, those perfect words. Fuck you.
Fuck you too.
Kalen matches me in flawless reflex. Connor slams his fist down on the table, rattling the spoons in their bowls, rattling my heart.
All right, all right. What the hell is going on with you two? Both of you shut your goddamn mouths right now!
He points his finger in both our faces alternately. Kalen pushes his chair away from the table and storms into the kitchen. I follow suit and stomp off to my room, slamming my door hard behind me. I sit down on the floor, leaning my back against the side of my bed. I let my head fall against the edge of the mattress. I close my eyes. I can't keep it out any longer. Can't hold it back. I feel something break like a levee inside my head. What happened? I woke up to him climbing on top of me, jabbing his knees into my arms. I thought it was a joke. Unfunny, to be sure, but still a joke. I opened my mouth. I tried to speak, but only got out what? The beginning of what? 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 What is happening? What are you doing? But he put his hand over my mouth right away so my mom and dad wouldn't hear. They wouldn't hear because my alarm clock was blinking 2:48 at me from the nightstand next to my bed. We both knew they were fast asleep on the other side of the house. No joke. Because now his mouth is on your mouth and his hand around your throat and he's whispering,
shut up, shut up, shut up.
You do. You shut up. You are stupid. Stupid. It's 2:49. He had my days of the week underwear on the floor, and somehow you still don't understand what's happening. Then he yanked my nightgown up, my favorite nightgown with the stupid sleeping basset hounds on it, and I feel the seam rip where the thread was already coming loose. He pulls it up around my neck, exposing my whole body, my whole naked, awkward body, and he shoves a fistful of it into my mouth, choking me. I was gagging, but he just kept pushing it into my mouth, pushing, pushing, pushing until it wouldn't go in any farther. I didn't understand why, not until I tried to scream. I was screaming. I knew I was, but no sound, just muffled underwater noise. I managed to get my arms free, but they didn't know what to do first. They flailed aimlessly, striking outward without direction. Stupid limbs. A quick smack-smack against a wall of boy body, and I was down again. So much for that adrenaline rush of superhuman strength I'd always heard about, the kind that could allow grandmothers to lift cars off children, yet wouldn't allow me to just get out of his hands. Fucking useless urgency.
"Stop it,"
he warned me as he held my arms down against the bed, his knees digging into my thighs, grinding his kneecaps in hard until all of his body was smothering all of my body, my bones turning to dust. "I remember you thought that hurt, but that was nothing." His body was shaking, his arms from holding me down so hard, his legs from trying to pry himself between my thighs, trying to position himself to do the thing that even then, in that moment, I still didn't believe he was capable of doing.
"God damn it,"
he growled in my ear, her ear, her ear.
"Hold still or I fucking do it or I swear to God,"
he breathed. I didn't care about the ends of those sentences because this can't be happening. This can't be happening. This can't be happening. This is not real. This is something else. This is not me. This is someone else. I tried to keep her legs squeezed together. I really tried. They were shaking from the strain of it. But by 2:51, he got them apart. The bed frame creaks like a rusty swing swaying back and forth, moans like a haunted house, and something like glass shatters. Shatters inside of you, and the tiny slivers of this horrible thing splinter off and travel through your veins, beelining it straight to your heart. Next stop, brain. I tried to think of anything. Anything except it hurts, it hurts, it hurts so bad. Quickly, though, the pain became secondary to the fact that I thought I might actually die. I couldn't breathe. No sound could get out of my mouth and no air could get in. And the weight of his body was crushing me to the point I thought my ribs would snap right in half and puncture a lung. He used one hand, just one, to hold both my arms over my head, grinding my wrist bones together. He kept the other hand around my throat, constricting every time I made any sound at all. The sounds were involuntary, gurgling and sputtering, dying noises. Noises the body just makes when it's dying. Didn't he know he was killing me? I wanted to tell him I was about to die. At some point, I guess I just stopped struggling. The thing, it was happening. It didn't matter anymore. Just play dead. He kept his face buried in the pillow, and every time he moved, so sharp, his hollow, muted grunts and groans reverberating through the cotton and polyester stuffing, winding a meandering path that led directly to my ears, melting with the noises of my insides breaking, the voices in my head screaming, screaming, screaming. By 2:53, it was over. He let go of my arms. It was over. It was over, I told myself. When he ripped the nightgown out of my mouth, I started coughing and gasping. I had almost suffocated to death, but he couldn't even let me have that, a simple bodily reaction. He clamped his hand over my mouth. He was out of breath, his mouth almost touching mine, his words wet.
"Shut up. Shut up. Listen to me. Listen."
He held my face still so that I had to look directly into his eyes. His eyes were the eyes he always had, but they burned me now, burned right into me. "Shh, shh," he whispered, as he peeled away strands of tear-soaked hair from my face, tucking them behind my ears, like, gently, over and over again, his hands on me like it's the most normal thing, like this was just supposed to be.
"Look at me,"
he whispered.
"No one will ever believe you. You know that. No one. Not ever."
He pushed himself off me then, a burst of icy air rushing in between us as he sat up. He was leaving, and it would finally be over. I didn't care about what had just happened, or what would happen next. I only cared that it would be done, that he would be gone. I would be quiet. I would be still, if that's what it took. I shut my eyes and waited, and waited. Except he wasn't leaving. He was kneeling between my legs, looking down at me, at my body. I had felt plenty ugly before in general, but never ugly like this. Never as insignificant and repulsive and hated as he made me feel then, with his eyes on me. I tried to cover myself with my hands, but he tore them away and laid my arms flat against my sides. He put his hands on me instead. It wasn't over. Not yet. This was still part of it. I grab handfuls of sheets in my hands to make my body stay put, like he wanted. He wasn't even holding me down, not physically, but he was holding me in some other way, a way that was somehow stronger than muscle and arms and legs. I couldn't even feel my body anymore, not even the hurt, but I could feel his eyes on me, showing me all of the places I was ugly, all of the things he hated most about me, all the ways I didn't matter.
"You're gonna keep your mouth shut,"
he whispered into my mouth. I wasn't sure if it was a question or an order. Either way, there's only one right answer, I know.
"I asked a fucking question."
Drops of spit fly onto my face with each word. I stare. Am I allowed to speak? Wasn't I supposed to be shutting up? He grabs hold of my chin and a handful of hair and jerks my face up and down.
"Yes,"
he hisses, nodding slowly. I nod my head ferociously.
"Say it."
My voice doesn't work right, though. I can only get out the S sound.
"Say it,"
he demands. "S. Yes. Yes," I hear myself whimper.
"No one. Do you understand? You tell no one,"
he says with his mouth close to my face.
"Or I swear to God. I swear to God I'll fucking kill you."
I hear my voice, no louder than my breath. "Please, please, please." And I don't even know what I'm begging for. Him to just get it over with and kill me, or for him to spare me. He smears his lips against my mouth one last time, looks at me like I'm his, and smiles his smile. He gets up. Then he's back in his boxers. He whispers,
"Go back to sleep,"
before shutting the door of my bedroom behind him. I put both hands over my mouth, squeezed my eyes shut as tight as I could, and tried to fix my brain to disbelieve everything it thought and felt and knew to be true. I open my eyes. I'm breathing heavy, then barely breathing at all. My heart races, then stops altogether. I'm in my room, not then, but now. And I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm okay, I repeat silently. I stand up. I pick up my phone. I pace my room. I need someone. I actually fucking need someone. Need someone now. But I have no one to call. No one. I have left myself with absolutely no one in the world who would ever care about what is happening to me right now. But then I have a thought. A very stupid, masochistic thought, but now it's there in my head, and it's one of those thoughts that, once it's there, there's nothing that can be done to make it go away. My fingers press the numbers, even though my brain forbids it, just like it was 2 years ago, just like no time has passed at all. The sequence of numbers ingrained in my bones and muscle, I dial. I practice his name. Josh. Josh. I whisper. I hate myself. It's ringing.
Hello?
I open my mouth. But what words could ever, ever undo these things? What words could ever tell enough of the truth? I hang up. What is wrong with me? I redial.
Hello?
I hang up. Just one more time.
Hello?
I hang up again. Damn it. I take a breath. Like some kind of junkie with no self-control, I just cannot stop myself. I dial.
Who is this?
He demands. Oh, God. His voice. Just the sound of his voice makes my heart pound.
Hello?
He inhales.
Hello?
He exhales. I open my mouth, but then Vanessa's voice calls, Edie? Edie, will you come here, please? I hang up fast. In the living room, I'm met by two incredibly intimidating-looking people. A man, a cop in uniform, and a woman who's wearing a power suit and introduces them both.
Hello, this is Officer Mitchell, and I'm Detective Dodgson. We're here to ask some questions regarding Kevin Armstrong. We understand that your family, Mr. and Mrs. McCrory, is very close with Mr. Armstrong and his family. Is that correct?
Connor fumbles with the remote control as he tries to switch off the TV, and Vanessa does something I've never seen her do before. She reaches for Connor's hand. Kalen is suddenly on his feet, looking entirely too confrontational considering the fact that both these people have visible guns on them.
I already told the police everything I know, which is nothing, because nothing happened,
Kalen practically shouts.
We are aware of the statement you gave the campus police last week, but we're here today regarding a separate matter. A related, but separate matter,
the woman Detective Dodgson says. I feel my hand clutch at my chest, because I know, right away, I know there's someone else. Another girl, someone besides the ex-girlfriend. Okay, I take a deep breath and hold it. I plant my feet into the floor and brace myself for something terrible.
What is this all about?
Connor says shakily, putting his arm around Vanessa's shoulder.
Look, he didn't do anything to her. I know it.
Kalen insists. Officer Mitchell, towering over 6-foot-tall Kalen, takes a step toward him. He doesn't even need to speak to intimidate. Detective Dodgson proceeds.
We'd like to ask each of you, separately, about Kevin and Amanda Armstrong.
The bottom of my stomach opens up and my heart drops through. Amanda. Of course. Of course it would be her. I try to fade. Try to hold still and just blend into the wall. Try to summon enough psychic power to disintegrate. To dematerialize right here before their eyes.
What?
Kalen whispers, even though it's pretty clear he meant to scream it.
Mandy?
Vanessa says, more to herself than the detective.
Why would you want to ask us about her?
Connor asks, all of us getting afraid of the answer.
But why? Why, what?
Vanessa can't seem to formulate a sentence.
We're investigating a report of assault, ma'am,
Officer Mitchell says. Detective Dodgson looks at me in a way that makes me feel naked. But she couldn't know, because nobody knows.
What do you mean, assault?
Vanessa stutters, unable to comprehend what we're being told. Kalen sits back down on the couch and just stares at an imaginary point on the carpet. Doesn't speak, doesn't blink.
We'll want to speak with each of you,
Officer Mitchell says.
Mr. McCrory, will you join me in the other room?
He starts walking into the dining room. Connor follows, looking disoriented, clutching the remote control for dear life. The woman looks at me dead on.
Eden, right?
Breathless, I try my best to respond. Yeah.
Can we speak privately?
Kalen, Mrs. McCrory,
Officer Mitchell will be in to speak with you two shortly.
I start toward my room, her footsteps trailing behind me.
May I sit?
She asks, gesturing to my bed. I nod. My heart is racing. My hands are shaking. My skin is crawling. She sits down, and the bed creaks like it's spilling its secrets out all over the place.
I'd like to ask you a few questions, if that's all right.
Okay, but I really don't know anything. Too jumpy, Edie. Calm down.
Really?
She asks.
Because you didn't seem at all surprised when Officer Mitchell told your family about the allegations against Mr. Armstrong.
That's not a question, though. I don't know how I'm supposed to answer, so I just stare.
I'd be interested in knowing why that is.
Why what is? Play dumb. That's it.
Eden, if you have any information or knowledge regarding the Armstrongs, now would be the time to tell us.
I don't, though. I swear. I had no idea he was doing that to her.
Doing what, Eden?
She asks, pretending to be puzzled. I don't know. Whatever he was doing, whatever he did, I don't know. Oh, God, she sees right through me.
All right, then back to my initial question.
Why I wasn't surprised, you mean?
So you weren't surprised?
No, I was. I was surprised. I am surprised. I stammer.
No,
she says slowly.
Your mother and father and brother were surprised. Shocked. But not you. Can you tell me what was going through your mind?
Nothing. I don't know. I wasn't thinking anything.
You had to have been thinking something.
And she looks at me with these eyes. These no-nonsense, no-bullshit, no-tolerance-for-lies-of-any-kind eyes. She looks so far inside of me, as if she can see everything. Everything I am, everything I'm not. I count the seconds of her staring into my soul. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Let me ask you another question, then. Do you think that these allegations against Mr. Armstrong are plausible? Just in your own opinion?
I don't know. How should I know? I wouldn't know.
I have to say, you seem awfully agitated, Eden. Are you hiding something because you think you're protecting Mr. Armstrong?
Protecting? No. And I'm not hiding anything, really.
Eden, I'll be frank with you,
she says, folding her hands neatly one over the other in her lap.
I personally spoke with Amanda, and she specifically mentioned your name. Told me I should be talking with you.
She gently points her finger at me through her clasped hands.
Do you know why?
I shake my head too hard back and forth, back and forth.
Well, she seemed to believe that you may have some kind of information about Mr. Armstrong.
Kevin, she adds, as if she knows the spark of rage that just the sound of his name sets off inside of me. I watch her watching my hands shake. I cross my arms and tuck my hands under my arms.
Amanda told me about an incident that happened at school earlier this week. She said you became highly emotional when discussing...
No. I said no. I don't know why she mentioned me. I don't know anything. I mean to shout it, to be firm and strong, but it just comes out in a piercing whimper. She holds me in her poker-faced stare. I cannot read her at all. She stands up, walks across my room. I think she's leaving, but she closes the door so it's only open a crack.
Eden,
she says softly,
I'm going to ask you something, and I need you to be very honest in your response.
She lowers her voice and stands there like a mountain I will never be able to move.
Eden, has Kevin ever abused or assaulted you in any way, sexual or otherwise?
I always promised myself that if only someone would ask, if someone would only ask the right question, I would tell the truth. And now it's here. It could be over in one syllable. I open my mouth. I want to say it. Yes. Yes. I try to make a sound. Yes. Say it. But my mouth is so dry, I can't. I take a breath and I choke. I choke on the word. I'm actually choking. I stand up out of my chair as if that will help anything. I start pacing the room, losing my air quickly. I'm coughing so hard she has to race out of my bedroom to get me a glass of water. I'm still coughing when she gets back. I sip the water, but I choke even more, spewing it all over the carpet. My throat feels raw.
Can you breathe, Eden?
She asks loudly. I nod my head yes, even though I really can't. I can't breathe. It's like there's something stuck in my throat. I cough and cough, but it doesn't do anything. I clutch at my neck. There's something there. I can feel it. Can taste it. Something lodged in my throat. Something familiar. Something dry like cotton. Something like the end of that stupid damn nightgown that went directly into the garbage the next morning. By then, Vanessa and Connor have stormed in.
Oh my God! Vanessa screams.
Do something!
Connor yells at no one in particular. The room shrinks. I shrink. And now I'm back there. I see myself over their shoulders, lying in my bed, and he's on top of her again. I'm watching him shove the nightgown into her mouth, and nobody does a fucking thing. She tries to hit him once, twice, but he has her arms down again, and he... Vanessa.
Edie, drink the water. Detective. All right, everyone calm down. Let's just give her a little space now. She's fine. You're fine, honey. You're fine.
But I'm not fine. She's not fine. He's doing it. Hurting her. Again and again and again, and nobody even turns to look. I try to point. Want to scream. Behind you. Look, damn it. Notice something for once. It's right there. What you need to know, right there. Happening. Still. Eden, Edie, Edie, Eden, Edie, Edie. They scream at me all at once. I try to scream back, but nothing. Their voices fade into the background. White noise. Only one sound pierces through the veil of static.
No one will ever believe you. No one will ever believe you. No one will ever believe you.
Be over. Be over. I thought it was over. It was supposed to be over. Underwater voices and blurry words surface. Better. Okay. Edie. Eden. She's all right. Look. My eyes open. I'm staring at the ceiling. I'm on the floor. There's Vanessa on one side, the detective on the other. I feel like Dorothy, waking up from the strangest dream, except to an even stranger reality. Kaylin and Connor are behind them, leaning over me. What happened? I ask, my voice scratchy.
You fainted!
Vanessa screeches, tears threatening to overflow the shores of her eyes. Oh, God. I moan, trying to sit up.
Take it easy now. Slowly.
Detective Dodgson puts a hand on my back. Sorry, that's never happened before. God, I feel so stupid. I try to laugh at myself. It sounds fake as hell, though.
Well,
the detective says, standing up.
I do still have some more questions for you, Eden. But for now, why don't you just get some rest? If you do happen to think of anything... Please don't hesitate to call. I'll leave my card right here for you.
She pulls a business card out of some invisible compartment of her jacket and sets it down on the corner of my desk, tapping it twice with her index finger. I sit at my desk and stare at the card for a long time. After Vanessa force-fed me about a gallon of orange juice and endless saltines, I was allowed back in my room unsupervised. I trace my finger over the embossed letters that spell out, Detective Dorian Dodgson. I take my phone out. I scroll down and find the number in my outgoing calls.
Hello? Hello?
I hang up. I call back.
Hello? Are you there?
I hang up. I redial.
Hello?
He answers, edgy. Hang up. Redial.
Eden? Is this you?
My heart sinks deep.
Eden, if this is you, just... Hello?
I hang up. Fuck. Then my phone starts vibrating in my hand. It's him. It keeps ringing. I silence it. Shit. But then it'll go to voicemail. I have to pick up. I do. I don't say anything. I listen. He breathes.
Eden? Eden, will you just say something? I hear you breathing. Okay, listen.
His voice is sharp, just like that day in the bathroom when he dumped me. I listen. I listen closely.
I don't know what you want, why you're calling me like this. Talk now, or don't expect me to pick up again.
He pauses, soundless, then hangs up. My hands shake as my fingers punch in the numbers. I hold my breath. It rings, once, twice, three times. I should hang up. I should. This is crazy.
What?
He snaps. I can't speak.
Eden, come on.
No.
Do you need some kind of help?
Yes. Yes.
Is there something going on? Is something wrong?
God, yes.
I can't. You're going to have to say something here.
I wish I could.
Eden. Eden, come on. Look, are you stalking me or something?
Stalking him?
There are laws, you know.
He adds.
This has to stop. I mean it.
No. I finally whimper.
What?
No, I'm not stalking you.
Then what are you doing? Because this is really fucking creepy, okay?
I'm sorry. Silence. More silence.
Are you okay?
He finally asks. No. True.
What?
I cared, I blurt out.
What?
I cared about you. I always cared about you.
Okay.
He mumbles, like a verbal shrug. Can't tell what it means. Okay?
Well, I don't know what to say, Eden. I mean, I haven't spoken to you in years. This is just... This is really weird.
Did you know?
Did I know what?
He asks. That I cared. He hesitates, probably trying to decide if he should just hang up on me. He sighs, and I can tell he's also rolling his eyes. I can see him so clearly in my mind.
Sometimes, I guess.
I lied to you. A lot. God, I don't even know if you remember. Do you? Do you even remember me?
Yeah, of course I remember you, Eden. I remember everything.
I wish you didn't.
You don't sound good, Eden. Should I call someone for you?
Do you remember what I told you my middle name was?
Eden, why have you been calling me?
He demands, ignoring my question. Marie, right? Remember?
Yeah, Marie, I remember.
That was a lie, too.
What?
It's Anne.
Are you drunk?
Why, do I sound drunk?
Yeah, you do, actually.
Well, I'm not, but hey, that's probably a good idea. I'm just... I don't know, I'm just so... fucked up. I laugh. It's funny. This conversation, it's ridiculous. So completely fucked up. I laugh again. I'm sorry, you can really hang up if you want.
No, I don't want to hang up. I'm really worried, though. You don't sound right.
I'm not right. I'm really not. I'm not right. I'm wrong. Everything I have ever done in my entire life has been wrong.
Eden, I don't understand what you want. What is this about?
I used to love the way you said my name, you know, before you hated me.
I never hated you.
He sighs. Yes, you did. I made you hate me. It's okay, though. Everyone hates me. I would hate me, too. I mean, I do. I do hate me. I'm a horrible, horrible person.
Eden, please, just... Look, what do you need from me? How can I help?
You can't! I shriek. Then I cover my mouth because I can't let him hear that I'm crying. Look, I'll let you go. I'm sorry. I gasp. I shouldn't have called. I sniffle, struggling for enough air to finish this. I just miss you so much sometimes, and I wanted you to know that I cared. I really did. And there wasn't anyone else, ever. I hope you'll believe me.
Wait, Eden, don't hang.
I do, though. I hang up. I turn the phone off because I don't want to know if he calls, and even more so, I don't want to know if he doesn't call. I just want to sleep. I just want to fall asleep for a very long time. For forever, maybe. But I do wake up. 5:45 a.m., like every other morning. And like every other morning, I shower, I brush my teeth, I do my makeup, my hair, get dressed, the usual. I pack my bag, pretend to be getting ready for school. All the while, I try to convince myself that last night didn't happen. Hell, that all of yesterday didn't happen. I didn't cry and snivel on the phone to Josh. I didn't pass out while being questioned by Detective Dorian Dodgson. In fact, I don't even know a Dorian Dodgson. I don't know an Amanda either. Kevin Armstrong? Never heard of him. And rape? All I know about rape is that it's a terrible thing. Something that happens to other people, not me. I tiptoe through the living room, past Kaylin asleep on the couch. I'm leaving, I whisper, too quiet for anyone to actually hear. And then I do. I leave. It's only 6:30. I try to think of somewhere to go. School is out of the question, and the library won't open for another 2 hours. The streets are empty and silent. A fresh layer of snow absorbs all the sound in the world. I turn my phone on. 15 missed calls, 9 new voicemails. 11:10 p.m.
Eden, it's Josh. Please just call me back, okay?
11:27 p.m.
Eden, I don't know what's going on, but please call, just to let me know you're all right.
12:01 a.m.
Eden.
12:22 a.m.
Damn it, I'm really worried.
12:34 a.m. Breathing. 12:45 a.m.
Eden, I just want you to know that I don't hate you. I never hated you. Fuck, will you just call? Please.
1:37 a.m.
I'm starting to get really scared that you might be doing something stupid, and I don't want... Just please don't, all right? Just call me and we can talk. Please.
1:56 a.m.
Look, I don't know what happened, but it will be okay. It really will. Just please call me. I'm going crazy here.
2:31 a.m.
Eden, if you won't call me... Fuck it, I'm coming there.
End of messages. Coming there? Here? No, 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 no. I dial. It doesn't even ring on my end before he answers.
Hello, Eden?
Yeah, it's me.
Jesus Christ, I called you like 20 times.
I know, I'm sorry. I just now listened to your messages. Just please don't come. It's not worth it. I'm really not that... It's not an emergency or anything. I'm really sorry if I worried you.
Worried me? Yeah, you fucking worried me. I've been thinking you were dead for the past 7 hours.
That word, dead, it just cuts, like a blade, through everything. I didn't, but I can barely speak. I didn't mean to. That's not what I wanted. I didn't want you to be worried. I was just... Oh, God. I don't know.
You what? Why were you calling me?
I have to stop walking while I try to think of the answer. Well, maybe not the answer, but an answer. I was just... lonely. I'm just lonely, that's all. I'm sorry. I know it was stupid to call. I don't even know why I did it. I shouldn't have involved you. Silence. I feel like such an idiot, I tell him. I hear him cluck his tongue, then sigh sympathetically.
No, come on. Stop. Don't say that.
No, I do. I'm really embarrassed.
I see you.
What? But he hangs up. I start to call him back, but a car horn shatters the icy quiet that blankets the entire neighborhood. I turn to look. An old beat-up Ford slows down as it pulls up behind me. I stop walking. It stops moving, too. I bend down and look inside through the steamy passenger window. It's really him. He reaches over and unlocks the door. We stare at each other from across the table at the IHOP off the highway. I feel like I'm looking at a ghost. He looks the same, but different. Grown up. More like himself. Like the way he's supposed to look somehow. He sips his coffee. He takes it black. Very grown up indeed. Next to the syrup corral, there's a cup of broken crayons. I can't stop staring at them.
So?
He says, and I literally have to push the crayons out of my field of vision so I can focus on him. I just can't believe I'm sitting here with you, I finally say, after staring for far too long.
I know. I can't believe it either.
Except the way he says it is so much different from the way I say it. You had to have been driving all night? Pointedly, he says.
No, just half the night. The other half I was calling you.
I am sorry. I didn't mean to make it sound so dire. I was just upset, I guess. He doesn't say anything. His face is a cross between pissed, annoyed, and confused. And because I can't stand that look, my mouth keeps saying the stupidest things. Things like, you look really good, and, so I guess this is finally our date, huh? He doesn't respond, though. He just sits there looking like he's in pain. Blessedly, our waitress comes to my rescue with two heaping plates of pancakes. Just let me know if I can get you anything else, she tells us. Enjoy, guys. We both reach for the butter pecan syrup at the same time. Our hands touch.
Eden, I should tell you something up front, right now, okay?
Okay. This sounds important. I balance my fork on the edge of my plate, make sure I look like I'm paying attention.
I'm seeing someone. I have a girlfriend, and it's serious, so...
Oh. I pick my fork back up, stab at the pancake, try to wipe the devastated look from my face, and sound as blasé as possible. Right, yeah. Right, of course. I carefully cut off a triangle of pancake and stuff it in my mouth. It's hard to swallow.
So I just want you to know that I didn't come here to... What I mean is that I'm only here as a friend.
Sure, yeah, I get it. Be cool. Eat. Be normal. And for the love of God, don't say anything else. Does she know you're here right now? I mumble into my mug. It echoes. He nods, taking a sip of his coffee. What did you tell her? You had to go talk some crazy lying stalker girl down off the ledge? I smile. My face cracks.
No.
He grins uncomfortably, just slightly.
Not like that, anyway. I told her that you were an ex-girlfriend, and I know that's not how you thought of it, but that's what I told her, just for the sake of simplicity. And I told her I thought you might be in trouble, and I wanted to see you and make sure you were all right.
Wow, I whisper. I don't know which is harder to believe. The fact that he actually told her the truth, or that after he told her the truth, she let him come anyway. If he were mine, really mine, I wouldn't let him anywhere near someone like me. And she was okay with that? I ask in disbelief.
Yeah.
He shrugs and finally starts eating. Then he looks up at me for just a moment and says,
So are you?
Am I what?
In trouble.
Just as I'm trying to figure out how to even begin answering that question, the waitress is back asking, How is everything, guys? Need a topper there? This is really good, huh? I say after she leaves, pointing at the pancakes with my fork. Or am I just that hungry?
Eden, are you gonna tell me?
He asks impatiently. Tell you what?
I don't know.
He waves his hand in my direction.
You tell me. Whatever it is you called to say. You don't call that many times unless you have something to say.
I nod. I do have something to say. Many things to say. Too many. I think I mostly just wanted to tell you how sorry I am, I admit. I know it doesn't change what happened. I know it doesn't change anything. But I wanted you to know anyway. He takes a bite of pancake, takes his time chewing and swallowing, and just when it looks like he's going to say something, he takes another bite. Finally, he looks at me like he's choosing between saying something mean and saying something nice.
Eden,
he begins, taking a breath.
Look, I knew things weren't exactly how they seemed. I guess I sort of understood that you had issues or whatever. No, that's a lie.
He corrects right away.
I didn't understand, actually. Not at all. Not back then, anyway. But I do now.
He flashes me a sad smile before going back to his food.
I thought a lot about you, you know. Worried about you a lot.
He says with his mouth full, not looking at me. Why? I whisper, afraid that if I speak too loudly, I'll wake myself up from this dream.
Because you were always so... You just never really seemed okay.
I guess I wasn't okay. I tie my straw wrapper in knots over and over. But now, I laugh. Now I'm so far past not okay, I don't even know how I got here. You must think I'm out of my mind. I might be.
You keep saying that. Why? Did something actually happen?
He asks. I watch him watching me squirm, and I know there's no way to get out of this now. Not without actually telling him. The truth. He deserves the truth, after all. I had been waiting for 3 years for somebody, anybody, to say those magic words, and I've already let the opportunity pass me by once, when it really mattered. I can't do it again. My whole body goes tingly. I panic that I might pass out again. And I hear my voice, smaller than usual. Yes, something really bad happened. He's waiting, watching, and looking more and more concerned with every second that passes.
What?
He finally asks. He sets his fork down and leans in toward me. I look down at my plate, at the puddle of syrup, crumbs of wet pancake. My hands are shaking. I put them in my lap. I open my mouth. I was...
Yeah?
He prompts. I try again, but nothing comes.
Eden, what?
I look around, my eyes set on those crayons again, then back on him, waiting for me to say a word I just cannot say.
What?
He repeats. I reach across the table and pull the cup of crayons toward me. I pull out a broken red. I peel the paper back and rip off a corner of my placemat. My hand wants to break as I press the waxy crayon against the paper. R, I start to write it neatly, but an ugly word need not look pretty. My A becomes a shaky triangle, P is jagged, and the E and D come fast and furious. I look at the word, raped, for just a moment, before I fold it in half and slide it away from me, across the table, past my plate and his coffee cup, careful not to let it touch the few stray drops of syrup that have dripped down the side of the bottle. I move it toward him, along with every last shred of trust and faith and hope I have. He pulls the tiny piece of paper out from under my fingers, and all I can do is sit there, staring at my lap, my trembling hands digging into the edge of the seat. He has the word. It's out there. He has it. My secret. The truth. I can't ever take it back now. Can't lie it away. I close my eyes. Wait for him to say it. To say the word. To say something. But he doesn't. I force my eyes open and look at him, looking at me. I can't read his face.
You were... Did you tell somebody? Did you go to a doctor, I mean? Are you okay?
His eyes dart all around me in a clinical manner, scanning for injuries that aren't visible. No, I never told anybody, and I didn't go to a doctor either. And no, I don't think I'm okay. My voice falters. I really don't. But no, I can't cry. Not here.
Eden, I'll take you. Come on, we can go right now.
He picks up his keys and pushes out his chair like he's about to get up. No, no. I reach across the table and grab his arm. It's not like it just happened, I whisper. It was a long time ago.
What?
He pulls his chair back in.
When?
3 years ago, almost exactly.
Eden, what do you mean?
He's doing the math in his head, I can tell.
That was before we ever... How did I not know this, Eden? Why didn't you ever tell me?
I just shake my head. There always seem to be so many good reasons, excellent reasons, in fact. But sitting here across from him, I can't think of a single one. I look around. The earth is still intact. I'm still alive. The floor didn't open up and swallow me whole. I haven't spontaneously combusted. I don't know what I thought would happen if I told, if I let that one word exist. But I didn't expect nothing to happen. Everything is just as it was. No giant meteors collided with the planet and completely wiped out the entire human race. Dishes still clang in the kitchen. The radio still softly hums the oldie station it's set to. The people around us continue their conversations. My heart, it's still beating. And my lungs, I test them. In and out. Yes, still breathing. And Josh, he's still sitting here in front of me.
Eden, who?
He starts. Everything still okay? Our waitress asks, suddenly appearing at our table.
Fine, fine. Can we just have the check, please?
He asks her. Sure. Do you need some boxes? She asks, looking back and forth between us.
No thanks. I'm finished.
Josh says, pushing his nearly untouched plate away from him. The waitress looks confused by his disgusted expression and then turns to me, her eyes begging us not to give her a hard time about the food. No, I'm done too, thanks. I try to smile at her. We're not those kinds of customers, I tell her silently. She looks relieved. All right. Well, thank you. She fishes around in her apron pocket for a few seconds before she finally sets the slip of paper down on the table. You two have a great day.
Do you want to leave?
He asks me. I nod. Yeah, I don't have any money with me. I'm sorry.
Please.
He bats at the air between us.
It's fine.
His hands are trembling as he pulls 2 20s from his wallet and lays them out on the table. I don't even know if he's aware of what he's doing. The waitress is getting an $18 tip. He's shaken. As we make our way through the tables, his hand hovers over my shoulder, never quite connecting, like he's afraid to touch me. He walks around to the passenger side door to let me in first. He unlocks it, but then stands there, staring at nothing. Are you okay? I ask him.
Eden, I'm so sorry. I should have...
There's nothing you could have done, I swear. But that might be a lie, too. He stands there, close to me, and he looks like he doesn't know what to do. I certainly don't know what the protocol is either, but I step forward and put my arms around him. He hugs me back. We stay like that for a long time, not saying anything, and I feel like we could stay like this forever, and it would still never be long enough.
Let's get inside,
he says, finally letting go. He opens the door for me, closes it too. I watch him jog around the front of the car, and I think about how nice it must be to be his girlfriend, his real girlfriend. They're probably perfect together. She's probably smart and funny and pretty in this wholesome, natural way. And he probably loves her and gives her thoughtful gifts on her birthdays. And he's probably met her parents. And they probably love him because, well, how could they not? And they'll probably get married when they graduate. And I'm sure they don't play games or lie to each other. She's probably the complete antithesis of me. He turns the car on and cranks the heat. It takes a long time to warm up.
Eden, have you really never told anyone?
He asks. I nod.
Who did it? I mean, do you know who it was?
Yeah, I know who it was.
Who?
I feel the tears working their way up from the pit of my stomach. I can't tell you that, I say automatically.
Why?
I pull at a strand of yarn that's coming loose from my scarf.
Why, Eden?
He repeats. Because I just can't.
Do I know him? Is that why?
My brain fights against my body. I tell it to remain still, to not give anything away, but damn it, it won't listen. I nod, and the tears, they roll down, falling faster than I can wipe them away. I can't do this.
You can,
he says, as if he can hear the thoughts in my head.
Really? You can tell me.
You won't believe me. I sob.
Yes, I will,
he says softly.
I promise.
I know that I've lied about things before, but I wouldn't lie about this. And I know that everyone thinks I'm a slut. And I probably am. But this happened before all of that. I mean, I had never even been kissed. You were my first real kiss. You probably didn't know that. I never even held hands with a boy. I had never even so much as given out my phone number. I was just a kid. I have to stop. I can barely breathe. I'm crying so hard. I look at him, but everything's blurry through my tears.
I know, I know. Here.
He hands me a McDonald's napkin that was hiding somewhere in the car. This isn't who I was supposed to be. I used to be so nice.